You're listening to the Bottom Line podcast, where those living with or beyond bowel cancer, as well as health professionals involved in bowel cancer treatment and care, share their inspirational stories and lived experiences with host and bowel cancer survivor, Stephanie.
Fundraising. It can be loads of fun, but it is also a lot, and I mean a lot, of work. Bowel Cancer Australia is lucky to have many passionate fundraisers, and as a community-funded charity, they help us execute what matters most to those living with and beyond bowel cancer. Today's guests have worked tirelessly for a number of years raising funds for Bowel Cancer Australia through their Time is Precious philanthropic organisation. Sarah and Amy, welcome to the Bottom Line podcast.
Hey, Steph. Thank you so much for having us.
It is so great to have you on the podcast. We have worked together for a number of years, one being Call on Canberra as well, and then also your fabulous fundraisers. And we'll come to Call on Canberra in a minute. But I know that you're so very passionate about raising awareness and also raising funds for Bowel Cancer Australia, and we'll also get to that. You're two wonderfully dedicated women. You're very capable in your professional world. You're also great friends. And you're on a journey to raise funds for Bowel Cancer Australia and awareness for bowel cancer through your philanthropic organisation. Neither of you have had bowel cancer, but this is a disease, as I said, that's very close to your heart. Can you talk a little bit about how Time is Precious was established and why?
Yeah, sure. So my stepdad unfortunately passed away from bowel cancer. So he was 50 in 2019. And through that experience, sort of that lived experience, he had it for many years, and it was definitely a really tough journey. We saw some barriers firsthand as to his experience and with bowel cancer and the lack of awareness and the lack of funding around it. So then Amy and I came along and decided to start preparing and planning for a ball just out of a random thought that we might have, and we didn't think that there was better cause to do other than for bowel cancer.
Sarah, I want to talk a little bit about that, and I'll come to you in a minute, Amy, and how you fit into the puzzle. But your stepdad was 50. That's when he passed. So what age was he diagnosed, or was he diagnosed at 50?
Oh, so he passed at 50. He was diagnosed at 45.
So early onset bowel cancer. That must have had a real impact on you and your family.
Yeah, it was a complete shock. You just don't think that cancer is going to affect your family, and then all of a sudden it does, and your whole life changes.
And how old were you when he was diagnosed?
I was around 16.
Not that any other time isn't important, but a really impressionable age at 16.
Yes, definitely. A lot happens when you're a 16-year-old girl, and then throwing a stepdad and cancer into the mix is an interesting experience.
And Amy, you're obviously really great friends with Sarah. Talk us through your involvement with Time is Precious.
Yeah, so our families have sort of been very, very close for a long time. Our mums actually went to high school together. So our relationship sort of goes way back. And yeah, our parents were very close. And my parents spent a lot of time with Rob as well. My dad was a very good friend of his. And his passing was really, it was devastating. And it actually shocked a whole community. And both of our families were actually very heavily involved in our local rugby club. And I think that sort of initial connection was what drove a lot of people to be really taken back by his passing. But following his passing, we were really committed to sort of doing something in his honour, because he was loved so broadly by such a big community, and being able to honour him and recognising that there was such a need to spread awareness because no one really knew about bowel cancer, and it was such a turning point for us.
And that's why I started with Bowel Cancer Australia, because when I was diagnosed in 2012, it wasn't very well known. But I'd like to think that over those, 5 or 6 years, that we've really changed or shifted the dial a little bit. What do you think, ladies?
Oh, I think, yeah, absolutely. I quite often get in this mindset of realizing, you know, like I know we're sort of surrounded by bowel cancer a lot and very heavily involved in that community, but we are just seeing such a tangible change in general awareness and a lot more publicity and even just exposure on the news and on socials that it's getting quite far.
So, and what do you think, Sarah?
Yeah, back when Rob was first diagnosed, I probably honestly hadn't even heard of bowel cancer. And then just seeing that the last, 6 years, there's been so much more prevalence of it, not just people like getting it, but just the awareness in the media and the events that Bowel Cancer Australia is doing and just the general talking of it has improved so much, which is so amazing to see.
Over this period of time, Time is Precious has raised a phenomenal $275,000 for Bowel Cancer Australia, which is just amazing. How did you go about raising those funds?
So we started with a black tie charity event for the first year. There was 280 people that came to that, mostly family and friends, but even just that one event, we were so amazed by the support that we got from everybody. And then from there, we continued to host a ball every second year, but then COVID actually happened, so we had a little break. But every year we do an event, whether that be a big black tie event or a smaller event, and we're always exploring new events that we can do.
Which I was very lucky to MC one of those smaller events last year, yes. In terms of, it's always a fun, vibrant vibe.
Yeah, I think like we're definitely trying to find ways to create a point of difference. And I think also because we're both young women ourselves, we're very aligned to the Never Too Young campaign. But in saying that, it also means that we have a lot of young guests that want to join us too, which does sort of pose some challenges of them not having as much expendable income or not being in a position to donate as much as they would probably like to. So we do sort of try to find ways where we can also weave in a large awareness component to our fundraising as well, and then just creating points of difference to our events and keeping the momentum going.
We also tried to engage in events that are already running, like the Seven Bridges Walks and things that are organised by other charities, and gather a team together. And that way we, you know, raise the funds for our team, which go towards Bowel Cancer Australia. And we find that that brings the community together and it keeps the momentum going while we don't have our events every year, but we don't have them, you know, all year round.
I think that's a point, isn't it? And finding that point of difference, because Australia has that many charities and there's only so many dollars that can go around and there's fragmentation. And it's so wonderful that although it's your philanthropic organisation and you're raising funds, you're doing it for an organisation that can make a real impact, like Bowel Cancer Australia, rather than trying to go, okay, I've got these funds here. And it might seem like a lot of money, but in the big world of, say, research or something like that, it gets diluted. So it's a wonderful way of doing it. And we're very appreciative too, of course.
We simply don't have the resources all the time ourselves to invest the time into doing the research and actually making a difference. So our difference is, you know, raising the funds and the awareness and then donating it to a cause that can actually do really good with that money.
Which, you know, it's, we have been so very appreciative and you've, you know, done so many wonderful things for us and allowed us to support bowel cancer patients and those living beyond bowel cancer with things that really matter. And I think that's really important. What would be some of your highlights then? Because as I stated in the opener, fundraising and events can be really hard work. On the surface, you know, it's this lovely calm duck on a pond, but underneath you're paddling a lot of the time, aren't you?
We're definitely paddling a lot. I would say there's been a couple of moments where we're in a room 400 guests of a charity ball, and I sort of always try to take a moment where I stand at the back of the room for a couple minutes and just sit and reflect on what's actually going on. Like, quite often you're running at a million miles an hour and you stop, you have to stop to take a step back and just see actually what you're creating. And I do remember a couple of moments where I just stand there and go, this is absolutely wild. But also the conversations that you have with guests, we've really seen an increase in people joining our events that aren't from our immediate family and friends circle, and recognizing that our organization and our plans are sort of growing beyond that, and people finding us on social media. And then there's the element of someone coming up to us and saying, you know, that was such a wonderful event last week. You know, I've actually gone and gotten my bowel cancer home test kit, and you know, now I need to go and get a colonoscopy. So I think it's seeing those tangible changes that people are listening to us and they are taking action as a result.
One life saved is worth it, isn't it?
Totally.
Yeah, going on from what Amy said, it's like seeing the connections that are made in that room and the difference that we're making. People are sparking conversations. People are, I mean, it's obviously a really sad cause, people having bowel cancer, but connecting with other people that might have had bowel cancer or have lost loved ones to bowel cancer and hearing their stories firsthand and watching them take what we're doing and turning it into conversations with other people outside of the event, and then family and friends going, wow, like you guys are doing so amazing. Like I've actually gone and got my, you know, bowel cancer kit and I'm going to do it. Whereas previously they sort of put it in the bin, but they're telling us that what we are doing at these events and how we're talking about it is actually turning into action for them. So it's like, it's just so rewarding hearing that.
And we've made so many great friends through this community as well. Like we've actually met some wonderful people like through the Call on Canberra activities and through our events and just through social media as well. So I think it's also, you know, you connect over this grief, but yeah, we've made some really wonderful friends.
The tribe is really important, I think. I think that's a really lovely thing to say, Amy, because I know when we first started Bowel Cancer Australia's Call on Canberra event, and both of you have been to the past two, the first two, and that camaraderie and engagement at that first year was gave me goosebumps. I think I cried from memory.
Yeah, I feel like I would have cried as well. Like it's such a special event. So yeah, we feel very proud to be involved.
And I'm going to come back to that in a minute. But some of the campaigns and initiatives that you have fundraised for, what do these programs mean to you? And how do you think that your funds are helping people with bowel cancer?
I think one of the biggest one that resonates with us is the Never Too Young campaign. We're obviously two young women, both in that age range, as well as all of our friends and a lot of our family members are well within that bracket, and being able to support such a cause that's making a change and that's really, you know, providing that education and that awareness to the wider community is very rewarding, because we want to educate our community, but having a campaign like that to resonate with and to promote as well means a lot to us.
Fantastic. And Amy?
We always try to align our fundraising to what our guests want. So at the end of every ball, we put out a survey that's sort of a bit of a feedback form, but there's also a line in there where our guests can sort of vote on different elements of the breakdown of the funding and where they would like to see it going. And some of those have been, you know, feeding back into the Call on Canberra initiative. Some have been the nurses program. We sort of give the voice to our guests as well, right? Like this is their money too, and giving them the opportunity to decide what's important to them. And it sort of comes back as the same things every year, which I think sort of reiterates that we're on the right track.
I would say most of it would come back support, research and awareness under those three buckets that we tend to put most things under.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are really important factors, and it's so wonderful that you are able to do that. Sarah, as a loved one who watched a family member pass away, what advice have you got for others and other families that might be going through a similar situation?
It's not going to be easy to go through. So I think living with someone that's got bowel cancer or trying to care for someone or see someone go through that is an absolute roller coaster. And it will be hard, but just got to support that person, know that they obviously are suffering, but they want to support you. They want you to be happy as well. And what they want is you to, you know, keep living your life and look after your own health, and then maybe take it as a lesson to get yourself checked and make sure that you are looking after yourself. But I just think overall, it is, yeah, it's a big emotional impact that you go through, but you just got to stay strong and, yeah, look after yourself and look after your loved ones.
I think often loved ones are there supporting the person that's going through it, and sometimes they're forgotten. And I think it's really important to remember that they are also on the journey. It's a different journey, but they are on that journey. So be kind to yourself, as we often say.
Yes, and take the time to spend as much time with that person and become closer and cherish the moments that you will get to spend with them, and obviously have hope depending on where they're at in their cancer journey. Yeah, just support each other.
Time is precious, as also as we've touched on, gone to Call on Canberra with us and experienced that initiative. And for our listeners, Call on Canberra is an advocacy event at Parliament House where we engage with MPs and we take 50 early onset patients and loved ones in the past. Can you talk us through how important, and you've touched on some of the pieces, but how important that is to you as a part of that bowel cancer community?
I think it's absolutely important. I think that the first year was blew my mind in terms of how much policy change there is still needed and how much awareness or lack of awareness there was, you know, at the very top level. And I think that to get patients in the face of politicians and MPs who are actually making that change is extremely important. There are so many elements of areas that need to change that are driven by government, whether it's GP awareness or funding for colonoscopies or the home test kits and dropping the age. Like there's a large part of it that politicians have such a role to play. So I think that it's more than important that they see the faces of people that are battling with bowel cancer or early onset bowel cancer themselves. But also recognise that, you know, there's a huge team behind Bowel Cancer Australia that are the driving force that are wanting this change.
It was a big day.
It is a big day, but it's just so important. I think it comes back to sparking those conversations with the people that can actually make the change. So not only within the community, but within, you know, yeah, your MPs and the people that are in charge, and getting them to talk to each other about it and sort of share their ideas and see if they can make change, because we need their help to get results. It was the Call on Canberra initiative itself is just so well organised by Bowel Cancer Australia, and you really can see the change even after the first year. So it's very, very important and very inspiring.
We often say it's a marathon, not a sprint, but it was nice to see some of those runs on the board, particularly the dropping of the screening age. Although it wasn't just us, I think all of us in Parliament House might have had a little bit of an impact wearing those red T-shirts.
With our red shirts.
Which, you know, that is an early onset bowel cancer initiative. Why is raising awareness and the work that you do fundraising so important to you in terms of an early onset space?
I think the early onset element is really important because I want to be able to show face to my friends and my close community that, you know, this is something that actually directly impacts us and we fall into this category. And I think that for them, there's a large difference between seeing a broad nationwide initiative on the TV versus one of their close friends actually sort of driving this from home. So it's created an opportunity in a space that we now have conversations at the dinner table that we definitely wouldn't have had before. And I think that when they see someone that's like an everyday person driving a change that seems so big to them, it becomes a little bit more tangible and real. So yeah, it's a bit more impactful.
And this is our generation that you want to see in the future. You want to see making change. Like, we're going to be that age group needs to be around to be able to make decisions and to make change. And it just hits really close to home that's us. And that's, yeah, our friends and family who probably don't realise that their risk has increased and it's not an old person's disease at all, which is a stigma that I think is slowly starting to decrease. But having that there and having the importance of spreading awareness that this is real and this could happen.
And we're seeing live results too, right? Like I've actually seen some of my very close friends go and say, hey, that's actually a symptom that I've been like experiencing, getting a test and then ending up with a colonoscopy that is finding results that they would have otherwise avoided for probably years. So it's actually really scary when you think about, like, there's so many people sitting in front of me that need to be focusing much more on this.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sarah, we look at your stepfather. I mean, diagnosed at 45, that's very young. And you nailed it, Amy. Symptoms, 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 symptoms. Mm. Sarah and Amy, you're both so infectious. You have such an enthusiasm that really permeates all aspects of the work that you do around fundraising, and you both have full-time jobs as well as doing what you do for Time is Precious. How important is it to you to be connected to the cause that you're raising funds for?
It's extremely important. You've got to have the passion and the drive to be able to hold events and to fundraise, because if you don't have that, then it's just not going to work. We both work full time, but this is something that we have loved doing, and it's been so rewarding, and we wouldn't give it up, I don't think. Not anytime soon. We'll keep going, and seeing the change actually happen is just like incredible to see.
I think that like there is definitely a personality type between the both of us that supports this as well. Like there's many challenges that we've found along the way, and we still face. But I think that, yeah, because we have that personal passion for it, it sort of supports us getting through those challenges. And, you know, there's definitely a burnout period. Like we've been talking about this recently post-event, there's definitely a 6 to 8 week period where we can't do anything anymore, but we always come back.
Yeah, I don't think people realise behind the scenes how much work goes on to have a function. And I know you both have very high standards. So it's a function's got to be out of this world exceptional, which they are. So that adds another layer to it for you, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I think also like we rely on the help that we've got. We have a very small but wonderful committee that supports us, but honestly, 90% of it is driven by Tara and I, yeah, on our laptops at home after work, to be honest.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So what's next for Time is Precious?
Oh, well, it's a bit of a secret at this stage, but there's a lot of wonderful organisations in Australia right now that are also raising money for Bowel Cancer Australia. So we're sort of looking at combining forces and seeing what we can create.
Fantastic. Finally, I like to end, as you know, with my podcast by asking my interviewees what they would like people to take from the podcast. Sarah and Amy, I'm going to ask you to give me two each. What are the two takeaways? I'll go to Sarah first.
So my first takeaway is behind every statistic is a story, a family and a loved one, and that's why we do what we do. So the reward from hosting events and fundraising is knowing that you're giving families hope and reminding them that they're not alone. So that's what we always strive to do behind what we're doing. And my second take for people to take away is that every event we host is not just about raising dollars or raising money. It's about you raising awareness, starting conversations and saving lives. So you can do it if you want to host an event, fundraise. Anyone can do it. Doesn't matter the shape, size, form of it. Everything counts and everything means something.
No, great points. Amy?
I think for me, there is a real community element that everybody needs to take away, and you can sort of take that in a fundraising aspect. We rely very heavily on our community to sort of support and give back to Bowel Cancer Australia, but through Time is Precious, but also through your own cancer journey as well. Rely heavily on your community, and for those on the outside of it, you know, you are someone else's community. So make sure that you are there to support people and give back in that aspect as well. And my second takeaway would be follow your drive. And I think that if you've got this internal drive within yourself and you see something that needs to happen, really lean into it and let yourself follow your passion, because you can see that, you know, we've created something pretty incredible from our own drive. So yeah, definitely lean into your own passion.
Great tips. Sarah, I know that your stepfather would be incredibly proud of the work that both you and Amy have done, and also to you, Amy, to see what you ladies have done in the short space of time and the amount of money that you have fundraised in his honour. And I really appreciate that you have raised funds for us at Bowel Cancer Australia. Your energy, your enthusiasm, your hard work, your passion, it is just outstanding, and you've delivered an amazing amount of money to us, and you have had a significant impact on people's lives. And we look forward to working with you in the future. So thank you for joining me on the Bottom Line podcast.
Thank you. And thank you for all your incredible work with Bowel Cancer Australia too. You're invaluable.
Oh, thanks, Amy.
We look forward to the future.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bottom Line podcast. To find out more about bowel cancer or for support or simply to donate, please go to bowelcanceraustralia.org.